Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
And next up is Jennifer Chastain talking about her latest romantic suspense novel, Lethal Connection. So welcome back to my show, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
So we're going to talk about your heroine first, and the question that you wanted to talk about had to do with whether or not she has a pet, and if she does, what is the name of that pet?
Right. My heroine is named Caitlin and Daniels, and she has a pet cat. He's a Siamese, and she named him Houdini.
Ah, I love that.
He escapes
a lot, I guess.
Yeah, he's an escape artist, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Siamese, I actually own three Siamese. They are such interesting cats because they're highly intelligent. So I am not surprised that Houdini in your story is a great escape artist.
Yeah. He shows up at the odd.
Oh, shows up at the oddest times. Yeah. You know, the cats are they're their own people, so they they're not as pliable as dogs.
No, they aren't.
So, what about your hero? What is holding him back from finding love in this story?
My hero is Travis Beckett, and I had to really think about that. Of course, it's part of, you know, figuring out who your hero is too, but actually mm-hmm. the past and the present are actually clashing. So he's, you know, there's dangerous choices he's made in the past, and now that something, you know, the big exciting incident that has happened, he's had to make more, you know, dangerous choices. He's been living on the edge, I guess, and he's been part of WITSEC. So and then he finally left. So WITSEC, which you can do, and I found that out. So he decided he didn't want to be under their control anymore. So basically he's been off grid. So the past has really affected how he deals with the future and in relationships.
Ah, yes, definitely. I love how complex we can make our characters. So let's talk about the villain, and feel free, as I always tell my guests, feel free to use the they pronoun if you need to cloak the identity, but what is one redeeming quality about your particular bad guy or gal?
They are loyal. And that can be a very gray area because, you know, loyalty to a family, loyalty to just an idea, or loyalty, you know, to how do I want to word this? The loyalty factor, you know, you look at mafia folks, you know, they're loyal to the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, there's a loyalty factor in there because, you know, you did this person wrong. So I'm loyal to this person regardless of their morals or their character or their criminal background. They're still, he's still loyal regardless.
Mm-hmm.
of how that person is perceived by society.
Yeah, that's definitely can be a good quality, but people can take it to the extreme, like you had mentioned.
Yes.
So let's switch to the story setting. Why this particular setting for Lethal Connections?
Sure. All my books, this is the third book in the series, all the books either they start in Hawaii or they end up in Hawaii. So this book starts in Hawaii. This is where all the, you know, the initial conflict. And then after the heroine leaves, it follows her back home to her small town in North Carolina. So I wanted to tie in, you know, everything that happened in Hawaii in the other two books with, you know, with this story, and then again with the, you know, the law enforcement and everything in that same small town that I used in the first two books. So, you know, that way I can springboard other stories too, off the police force or other folks that are in the town.
Ah, nice, nice.
And I wanted to have everything kind of tight, not like a tidy bow, but at least you know you've got consistent characters, consistent locations. You know, oh yeah, I saw that guy, and you know, even though they might have a small part in the book, you know, at least hey, that person's familiar. But you don't have to read the other two, you know, to get you know an idea of what's going on. So that's
and
how
what about
I did that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I love how we can use settings to, you know, to kind of tie things together.
Yeah.
So what about the genesis of this story? Where did the idea for this particular plot come from?
Well, actually, I had a different idea for a different story. And I was, as I was sitting there trying to plot the other story, it just wasn't coming together. You know, just some, you know, the characters weren't talking to me. And I was just thinking, oh, who am I going to have? How am I going to tie in, you know, a third book? And I really struggled with that. And then all of a sudden, it was almost like the hero raised his hand and said, me, I've got a story to tell. And I'm like, okay, let's talk. And this guy's a talker anyway in the story. He's
okay.
But a lot of times, though, his talkativeness kind of covers up for what he's hiding, too. So even though he talks a lot, he's not saying a whole lot either. You have to really dig deep with this guy. So, you know, I did hit a roadblock, you know, with a couple scenes, but it's because he just didn't want to talk to me about certain things that happened in his past. But that's how it started. He has a minor role in book one and in book two. Very, you know, he was just like a supporting character. And I hadn't even thought about making him the hero of his own story. But it was just like, you know, it's one of those light bulb moments that you get every once in a while. You're like, oh, that's the guy. That's who I need to, you know, figure out. So that's basically it, how I came up with that one. It was a light bulb moment for me, I guess. And that and the Lord, you know, saying, like, hey, Jen, take him out. You know, maybe this other character that plays kind of a pivotal role in these other two. And they're like, oh, yeah, how about that one?
No, I love that, Jennifer. I love how we get those ideas at the oddest times and the oddest places. So thank you for sharing about that. We were almost out of time. We have enough time to hear your wonderful tagline for Lethal Connections. So leave us with that.
Okay. All right. It is here we go. A jilted bride, a runaway groom, a dangerous reunion filled with lethal connections.
Ah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
I really appreciate you know, sharing and getting the word out about my new release.
I'm delighted to welcome Terry Reed back to my show. She's talking about her latest release, Train to Protect. So welcome back, Terry.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Always enjoy talking with you, Sarah.
Thank you. We're going to get started with the heroine, as always. What past experience has had the most impact on your heroine in Train to Protect, making her who she is today?
I would say she has an older brother, and she wanted to be like him. So her love of adventure, her sense of right and wrong kind of comes from her brother, who she followed around as a child, and to the point where he was very annoying for him, and his best friend, the best friend happens to be the man that she eventually falls in love with.
Of course, yes.
Of course.
Little siblings can be very annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about your hero. What's his favorite pastime?
Well, my hero is he's a canine officer, so he loves to spend time with his dog, but one thing they love to do on their off time is kayak. So they go out into the ocean kayaking. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like, does he take the dog with him?
He takes the dog with him. They are inseparable.
Ah, I love that. That sounds like fun. So since we write romantic suspense, we get to talk about the bad guys. How does your villain unwind in this story?
This villain, he was an interesting character. So he likes to unwind by spending money. He likes the finer things in life, and he, you know, will drink the best champagne, go on yachts, fly first class, you know, the whole deal.
I would love to try to make that make me feel better for a while. The finer things. Never going to happen. Yeah. But that's okay. I don't really long for it. But every once in a while, you know, you're like, that might be a little,
I know,
fun.
A little retail therapy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about the setting. Why this particular setting for Train to Protect?
When I was researching places in Texas to set this story, I came across an article about turtles and the nesting season on Padre Island, and it just totally was fascinating. And I thought, okay, I'm setting a story here, and I'm going to have turtles be a part of the book, and I wanted a canine officer, and I thought this would be great. And there's also an alligator makes an appearance, so it's all fun.
Oh, that is fun. I love when we find such places like that that really just kind of fire up our imaginations, I think,
right,
to set our stories.
Yes, it's on my bucket list.
Yeah, okay. I hope you make it there soon to swim with the turtles or whatever you do with turtles. I don't know. So not the alligators, though. Terry, stay far away from the alligator.
Yes, stay away from the alligator.
So what about this particular story made you want to write it?
So part was the turtles and the canine dog, and then I really wanted to do the best friend, little sister romance. Him, you know, she's off limits, best friend's youngest sister. She's always had a crush on him, but hello, he's her brother's best friend. I thought that would be really a fun romance to explore.
Yeah. And was it? Did you enjoy it while you were writing it?
It was. Okay. It was fun. It was fun to bring in their shared past and the perspective that they each brought to it, and how they learned from the other that what they thought was not really what was happening. And yeah, it was fun. It was fun to explore this different kind of reunion story.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you for sharing about Train to Protect. But before we end, can you tell us the book's tagline?
Protecting a witness could be a deadly mission for this canine team.
Ah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Terry. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me. And I always look forward to hearing how it goes.
Next up, I have Robin Patchen talking about her latest romantic suspense, Protecting You. So welcome back to my show, Robin.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's start with your heroine. What past experience has had the most impact on making her who she is today?
Well, good question. When Alyssa was 12 years old, she was trying to prove to her parents that she was old enough to babysit her little sisters. So her parents they were gone, but they hired a babysitter. So while the babysitter was playing with her sister, she decided to cook dinner. And her mom had gotten a frozen pizza, so she just put that sucker in the oven and thought, I've got this under control. But she forgot to take the cardboard off from the bottom, and it set fire and actually set fire to the whole to the kitchen. And if not for the babysitter who called the fire department, the whole house would have burned down. She was like, cut it out. And the babysitter's like, oh, let's just check. And then So anyway, so it wasn't even really the fire, but it was after, because she overheard her dad kind of furious at what had happened and all the damage that to her mom. She is just useless and incompetent. And she just internalized that. And her whole life she's been trying to prove to her father that she is not useless and incompetent.
Ah, yes. Sometimes those things in childhood can have lasting impacts. What about your hero? What is his greatest regret?
Oh, gosh.
Robin, I'm going to have to stop you. You're breaking up a lot.
Okay, let me step out of the room. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes in my office, it's not. Is this better?
Yes, yes. So we're gonna do those questions again, because you were breaking a little bit on the first one, but definitely on the hero one, I'm like, yeah, we can't hear that. So
okay,
let me grab
my computer. Just I had made some notes. So
yeah. Go ahead.
Can I get all my cords in there? Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, yeah, that's much better. Yeah, I just, you were a little bit in the beginning, but sometimes that happens, and then but everything kind of smooths out. But it was not smoothing out, so, okay.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to, that's okay. I'm going to count to five, and so I know what I need to lop off when I edit it and get started again.
Okay.
Next up, I have Robin Patchen, who's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Protecting You. So welcome back to my show, Robin.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
So let's talk about your heroine. What past experience has had the most impact on making her who she is today?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So when Alyssa was about 12, she was trying to prove to her parents that she was old enough and mature enough to babysit her younger sisters. So they had, mom and dad had gone somewhere, and so they got a babysitter, and so she thought, well, I'm just going to cook dinner just to prove how mature and capable I am. So she popped the frozen pizza into the oven thinking, you know, how hard can it be? But she forgot to take off the cardboard underneath. And then she went and joined the game, and then the fire alarm went off, and she actually set fire to her kitchen. And it did a lot of damage. And it would have burned all the way down if not for the babysitter who called the fire department. So it wasn't so much the fire that really affected her, but her dad, later she overheard her dad saying to her mom, and he was just furious. She'd done all this damage, and he was just a little. And so she said, she is just a useless, incompetent fool. And she has now spent her entire life trying to prove to dad that she's not useless or incompetent.
Oh, well, that's sad.
Yeah, so it is sad, isn't it?
It is sad with the things we put our characters through.
I know, right? I know.
Yeah.
It's so mean. I love it.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So what about your hero? What is his biggest regret?
Well, so my hero was always a really good guy, but he went off to college, and he there was this woman who sort of seduced him. She kind of targeted him, and it turns out she was actually Alyssa's roommate, and there's a whole big story about why she went after him. But he was a little drunk, and they had a little one-night stand, and then he tried to redeem it. You know, he was like, God, that's not the kind of person I am. So he started to date her and just tried to make it work, you know. It didn't work. And then after college, they went their separate ways. Well, it turns out she got pregnant and she never told him. She had this baby and she told everybody that the father didn't want anything to do with them. She told her daughter, your dad doesn't love you. He doesn't want anything to do with you. And then she died in a car accident. And her parents had known all along who he was. And they basically just dropped Perry off on his doorstep and said, well, you're just going to have to step up now. He didn't even know she existed. She was like 8 years old. So he doesn't regret having the little girl, but he certainly regrets the way she came to be and the fact that he missed the first 8 years of her life.
So what about your villain? What motivates your villain in this story?
Ooh, well, I don't write this very often, but he's motivated by vengeance. So he's a long time. He's an Iraqi, and was in college during the Iraq War, and the building that his girlfriend lived in was bombed because the U.S. got bad intel. They thought it was that there were insurgents living there, but it was actually like a college, you know, apartment for college kids, and so it got bombed. So he has spent his entire life searching for the people who did it, trying to get vengeance. So he's a pretty interesting character. He's been my villain now for even, you know, in the background for about four books. So he's been fun. I'm glad to see his story wrap up a little bit.
Yeah. That's great. So it sounds like it's your story is set in a fictitious place, but did you base it on something, someplace real?
It's set in Boston, which of course is real, but then they go to a couple of places. There's a little town outside of Augusta, which is sort of central Maine. Very small town outside of a pretty small town. And that is just every little New Hampshire town that that I ever saw. And then, cause I grew up in New Hampshire, and then Shadow Cove is, which is where a lot of the stories take place in this series, is based kind of on, Bar Harbor or, just a little coastal town. It's just a sweet, charming little coastal town that everybody should visit someday if it were real.
Yeah, but it's not. So don't try to find it. Don't try to find it.
Exactly. Not really there.
So what about the genesis of this story? Where did that come from?
Well, it's very interesting. You know, I knew that I needed to give this bad guy his comeuppance. And so I didn't know how I was going to do that, but I knew he was going to show up in Alyssa's story because she was my next heroine. So I had this image as I was writing the end of Sheltering You, the last book. I had this image of my villain sitting at a dinner table or at, you know, like a cafe table or something with my heroine who had no idea who he was. And so that sort of started the whole thing. You know how you do where you just go like, well, what if? And you just build the whole story from that one little what if. So that was kind of, I just wanted that to be the beginning, them sitting at this table and wants the reader to know who he is, even if she has no idea. So that was the start. It was so fun.
Yeah, I love it. I love it when we get these little images. It's just so much fun to write.
Yes, it is.
So we're going to close our short time together, Robin, with what is the book's tagline for Protecting You?
It is in a high-stakes game of deception, two rivals must work together to bring down a ruthless terrorist.
Ooh, very scary. Very good. All right. That was really exciting. So thank you so much for sharing on my show today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm welcoming back Sarah Sundin to talk about her latest romantic suspense, historical romantic suspense, Midnight on the Scottish Shore. So welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
I must admit, I'm going to take a little side joke. I love talking to other Sarahs. It's just so fun.
I know. Especially when we have the H at the end.
I know. Okay. All right. Reining myself in. What does your heroine in this story keep hidden from everyone?
Oh, well, she's a spy, so she keeps everything hidden. But she has, she volunteers to be, she is actually with the Allies, but she volunteers to be a Nazi spy so she can get a free ticket to Britain. But then she gets captured. So it's just like the whole story is a mess of secrets.
I guess she would have to not share a lot with anyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what about your hero in this story? What's holding him back from finding love?
Oh, he has been betrayed in his past. Not by a woman, but by his own brother. And so he has had most of his dreams shattered because of what his brother has done to him. So he does not trust. And he is a law and order, do things right kind of guy. And he meets this woman who is from what he believes, is a Nazi spy. So for somebody who is all about doing things right, this violates all of his principles of loyalty. And, so he's not interested in her at all.
Yeah, not sure at all what's happening here. So we have our villains in this story, and I know you write historical World War II romances, I mean historical romantic suspense, but what's about your villain? What's one redeeming quality about your villain? I know you may have more than one, but...
Well, I think, as in with all villains, they believe they're the heroes of their own stories. And when I heard somebody say that in a writing class, like, well, that's it right there. And my villains, my main villain in the story is doing what he's supposed to do. He is loyal to his country and doing his job well, and he believes he's fighting for what's good and right. He's wrong, of course, but, he's fighting for the wrong side, but he really believes he is doing what is right. And he is actually rather compassionate person. And so that gives him a little, he was an interesting character to write.
Yeah. And so you write, like I said, since you write the historical World War II, you have to base them in real places. But as writers, we get to change things. So what's one thing that you changed about your setting to fit your story?
Well, I chose a real setting. And then a lot of the story is set at Dunnet Head Lighthouse in far northern Scotland, which is right across the waters from Scapa Flow, which is the main Royal Navy base. And there was an actual radar station right next to the lighthouse. But I chose to station, now Scylla becomes a double agent. She's now working for the British, sending false messages. And so I stationed her at this lighthouse. Now, during the war, the lighthouse was in regular operations. It was blacked out because of the war. There were no double agents who were stationed at the lighthouse. But it was so picturesque. And then the military setting was so perfect for this spy who isn't a spy to be located. And it was a fun location, to put it.
Yeah, and what about the genesis for this story? How did you get the idea for the story?
Well, it came twofold. My husband kept bugging me to set a story in Scotland, so I'd been kind of mulling that over for a while. And then my youngest son loves mythology, and he told me about the legend of the Selkie, which looks like a seal in the water, but then she comes ashore and she sheds her seal skin, and she's this beautiful woman. And the unsuspecting man sees her, falls in love, and the only way he can keep her on land, because she loves the sea, is to steal her seal skin. But if she ever finds her seal skin, she'll go right back to where she came from. So as my son's telling me the story, I'm imagining a female agent landing in her rubber boat and this kilt-wearing hero seeing her, and to capture her, he steals her boat, which is basically her seal skin. And she is captured. So that was kind of the genesis for the story. It's like, okay, what kind of woman would do this? And what kind of man would turn her in knowing she's going to be executed?
Ah, yeah. I love that. I love mythology. So that's kind of fun that you
And it kind of, Selkie becomes her code name as a spy. And I was able to kind of work that, the myth all the way through the story, which was lots of fun.
Yeah, lots of fun. So we're going to end our short time together, Sarah, with what's the book's tagline?
Oh, goodness.
I have one. Trick question.
Well, the one I was using is to escape the Nazis, she'll become a Nazi spy. There's something different with actually that, but
that's okay. We can go with that. It doesn't have to be the official one.
Yeah.
We'll go with that one. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Midnight on the Scottish Shore.
Well, thank you.
Next, I'm delighted to welcome Lynette Eason back to my show. She's going to talk about her romantic suspense, Serial Burn. So welcome back, Lynette.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's talk about your heroine. What did she want to be when she grew up? And did she become that person in this story?
She did, actually. So that's an easy question to answer for me because she knew once she learned that her parents and family were killed by an arsonist, she determined that she was going to be someone that could track and find and put in prison and take care of arsonists. So she became a fire marshal.
And what about your hero? What's his biggest regret? And probably at the beginning of this book, I would say.
His biggest regret was not being able to save his best friend's life. Yeah. Should I say anything more about
Probably not. We don't want to give it
that?
away, but yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good. So, what about the villain in this? And feel free to use they if you need to keep it a secret. What
Oh, yeah.
motivates your villain?
My villain is mostly motivated by revenge. There is a lot of what can I say? What can I say? So there's a lot of history behind that, and just say that the villain feels the need to get even.
And that can definitely set off a lot of fires.
Yeah, let's go set fire so I can make people mad.
Well, serial burn, I took a guess. So what about the story setting? Why this particular setting?
Okay, so this is the third book in the Lake City, North Carolina series. And so, of course, I'm just going to stay there. But for the setting for the whole series, the reason why I chose it is because, first of all, it's fiction. It's a fiction setting because I decided I wanted to create places and things that would fit the story rather than set it in an actual place that I had to be accurate about. So, there's that. And so I have come to really fall in love with Lake City, and I wish it was a real place, actually. So that's why I picked the story setting. I picked the fictional place because I wanted to make it my own and have the characters there do the things I wanted them to do in the places that I wanted to put there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the fun things about fiction. We can
Yeah.
create cities if we need to,
Yeah, exactly.
anywhere.
Yeah.
So, what about the underlying positive message of this book?
So the underlying positive message is one that runs through a lot of my stories, and that is your past doesn't have to define your future, and personal love and forgiveness, acceptance, and coming to realize that God's love and is all you need, and that's where you need to find your identity.
I love that. We can never hear that too much, I don't think. So we're going to close our short time with what's your book's tagline?
The tagline is, according to my publisher, she's out for justice, but the arsonist she's tracking is out for retribution.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I
Well, thank you
know.
so much for sharing about Serial Burn with my listeners.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it so much.
I'm delighted to welcome back Elizabeth Godders with her latest romantic suspense, Storm Warning. So, welcome to my show, Elizabeth.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
So, we're going to start with the heroine. What past experience has had the most impact on making her who she is today?
Well, in this first installment of my brand new series, Hidden Bay, my main character is Remy Grant, and she grew up on a farm in Nebraska, and then her father died, and she and her mother opened up a bed and breakfast, and then her mother died. And she's in town, thinking she would really like to travel the world. She's a photographer and loves to take pictures. And so the army recruiter talks to her about, yeah, you can travel the world and you can take pictures. And so she becomes a military photographer. And so as time goes on, then she turns into a travel blogger, photojournalist. And the next thing you know, she wakes up in the hospital and she knows she's in danger. And she's in Germany, and she has to make her way back to the States. And she ends up as a lodge keeper at a storm watching lodge in the fictional bay on Washington coast called Hidden Bay. And so that is where the story starts. So you can see how all of our little choices that we make, right, lead us to the places that we are.
No, I love that. It is so true, Elizabeth, so true that everything that we do has an impact, big and small, on our futures. So I love it that we can show that in our characters. So that's going to be a fun little trip for her, I'm sure. So now what about your hero? What's his biggest regret in this story?
Yeah, he... His past is that he was a military helicopter pilot, and he flew with the Night Stalkers. And then after his time, that time was up, he became a King County deputy pilot. And he and his co-pilot disobeyed an order, but they were going after a known terrorist. And so it was kind of like, you know, this guy's going to kill people. It was one of those situations where they just did not agree with the order. But things did not end well, and his co-pilot died, and he was fired. And so the story opens with him being fired from that job, and now he's on another pursuit. So he regrets everything that, you know, carries the burden of that through the whole story of what happened. But in the end, it turns out that he was actually a hero in what happened.
I love we can offer them that redemption and a chance to get it right, to make it right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So what about your villain? What motivates your villain in this story?
Well, every villain, I mean, every person, if you think about it, has our own justifications. For all we know, our justification of something makes us a villain. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Our own justification.
Mm-hmm.
And we all tend to justify something that we want. And my villain feels justified by his need for balance in the world. And he's also driven by the need to raise funds to assist in his future goals. And, I mean, you think about it. That's what every organization, even terrorist organizations, do. They have their justification, and they raise their funds for their future goals. So my villain is about his goals.
Yes, yeah. And it sounds like you have that your setting is part of your story with Storm Warning as the title.
Yes.
So how, yes. I know, kind of interesting that way. So how does the setting move your story forward?
It's pretty much like that in all my stories, I think, just because I just love the settings. Well, the Olympic Peninsula is Washington Coast, and it is a stunning city with rocky coasts and often violent crashing waves, and it's got a beautiful temperate rainforest, lots of rains and storms. And in this case, the story takes place on the coast in a storm watching lodge in the area of the rainforest, and a storm is coming in, and it's king tide season. And so the characters are really just, you know, it just adds all the extra tension and extra intrigue, and just, you know, having to battle and fight to survive in a terrible environment, a beautiful environment, but, you know, it's a terrible environment too. So the setting plays into the cold, chilling ambiance of a psychological thriller and forces Remy and Hawk into survival mode.
Ah, I love it. That's so, yes. Again, you know, when we can push our characters and we can use all these wonderful outside, and the
everything.
Setting is,
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, the setting can just, I mean, just making it dark instead of, you know, nighttime, midnight instead of noon, and the other things that we can do to make,
and rain,
you know,
and crashing waves, and just the dark forest. I love all of that.
Yeah, right. I'm getting shivers over here. So let's switch to something positive. So not that that wasn't positive, but, you know, positive as into the message. So what's the underlying positive message of this story?
Yeah, well, that's what I love about writing Christian fiction, is that our stories, I don't care how, let's say, quote, dark they are, they always can have a redemptive message, right? And hope.
Mm.
There's always hope. So in my story, Storm Warning, it's that God is with us even in the storms of our life, right? Even when we don't know why something is happening to us, he is still on his throne. And I opened the book with a scripture talking about the waves roaring and crashing. And God is the one who makes them roar, you know, but he's on his throne, and we can trust him, and we're in the palm of his hand. So no matter what's going on,
So I believe that's just a very positive message, that even in the tension of the story at the end, you're like, ah, oh, you know, God's got me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. Well, we're going to close our short time together with what's one thing you want readers to know about Storm Warning?
Well, it is the first book in a series. My series, Hidden Bay, is an action adventure romantic suspense, and the book one is a tale of survival and secrets.
Ah, that sounds so great. All right, well, I'm excited, and I hope the listeners are too. So thank you so much for sharing today, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.